light my shiny metal ass.
It doesn't look so shiny to me.
Shinier than yours, meatbag.
Everybody, welcome to the Geek Generation, episode 133. Mikey Arsenault is in studio. I'm Rob Logan. Usually I do that in the other way around, but hey, what the hell? How you doing?
Very good.
Good. It's a hot day out.
Very hot.
Temperature's changing. It's nice.
And I haven't changed to the red attire yet.
Nope. Still wearing thermals.
Oh, wearing thermals, wool sock, plural.
Socks. I like the delay. Wool sock. Snakes.
It's there. Hate snakes.
Yeah, me too. No time for love, Dr. Jones. We have today a crap ton of news because we've gone like 3 weeks without doing any because we had some interesting shows. We did our summer movie preview last week, and I totally didn't even mention that we have the post online with the summer movie trailers. So every movie we talked about, there's one post on thegeekgeneration.com that has all of the trailers for all of those movies. And we just added the World's End trailer. Did you watch that at all? The one with Simon Pegg and Nick Frost?
I thought it was just a poster.
The poster's there now. I actually just added the trailer recently.
Okay. Yeah. No, I saw the poster, didn't see the trailer.
Okay, yeah, they just came out with it like the day after we recorded the episode, of course.
Yeah.
They come out with the trailer. And it looks okay. It's another zombie style movie, but really? I think it's aliens or something this time. They want to do a pub crawl and hit all, and the World's End is the last one they're going
to
hit.
I think all of their movies have to do with pubs.
Maybe. And then they go to their hometown to do it. They've like meant to do it when they were younger and they tried several times, but they never made it through their full route. But then as older guys, they go back to their hometown and everyone is kind of off. But then they start getting like glowing eyes and mouths and stuff, and it looks very alien. Yeah. So I don't know what it's going to be like, but if you like the humor of their movies, I assume it's more of the same.
I do. I do like the British movies. I kind of get their humor.
Yep.
So I like what they do.
Yeah.
You know, I like that last one, Paul. I actually thought that was pretty good.
That was one of their better ones, I thought.
Yeah. I liked Hot Fuzz.
I didn't see that.
No.
No, but I did like Paul. Paul was all right. And yeah. I liked the first half of Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah. And then it started off so well.
Yeah.
And then it just got too serious in the end.
Yeah. See, I'm glad that you agree with me there.
It didn't ruin the movie for me, but I think if they could have kept the humor throughout, I think it could have been pretty
good. That's what I tuned in for. And then it just swerved and I was like, oh, too serious. I like the humor part. I like the parody of the zombie films much better. But like I said, we have a ton of news, so we might as well hop right in. The first one. Microsoft, and some of this is going to feel old because it's been like 3 weeks, but I don't know if there are people that rely on the show for their news source, so I don't want to skip anything and be like, oh, well, it happened 3 weeks ago, so. Microsoft has announced that they will reveal the new Xbox on May 21st at 1 p.m. Eastern Central Time. The event will be live streamed on Spike TV, Game Trailers, Xbox Live, and Xbox.com. There have been many rumors about the next Xbox so far, with the suggested name being Xbox 720. Other popular rumors include always-on connectivity and restricting used games on the system. What do you think?
I don't follow Xbox that much because I don't have one.
Yeah,
we're PlayStation guys. Yep. But, hey, I'm all about a kick-ass system. The only thing I'm waiting for is I'm just waiting for the right games to move over or at least get the same games.
Yeah, so you go in with the same mentality that Volpe does. It's all about the games.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be for me, but I like a lot of the other things the PlayStation does, like having Blu-ray
I could never get away from that anymore.
Yeah.
I have so many Blu-ray movies.
Yeah.
It's not even fun.
We're locked in.
Yeah. I don't even buy a normal DVD anymore.
Yeah.
Unless it's something just going back that I don't have.
Sure. Or it's not out on Blu-ray and you don't have the option.
Or I can get it for $5. I'll buy it.
Yeah. But a couple of things that, well, for one, if they're going to call it the Xbox 720, I don't think that's the best idea. Because then you just doing that from now on, if you just keep expanding on the number, it's going to sound ridiculous real quick.
Yeah.
So they're better off going with like the Xbox something. I don't know what they would do, but even if they said Xbox squared, it would be something different.
There you go.
And they could always call it like the Xbox 2, but have it be the exponent, and then the Xbox 3 would be the exponent 3. I don't know. I'm thinking outside the Xbox. That was terrible. I'm sorry. The other rumors, too, the always-on connectivity, meaning you would always have to be connected and online to be able to play anything. That sounds horrible.
Yeah, that could be a problem for some people, you know, that don't have regular access to the internet.
Yep.
You know.
And there was a guy that got in trouble from Microsoft. I forget who it was. He had tweeted something like, oh, well, we don't care about people who can't afford internet. Like, literally said something that
that's pretty
blunt
harsh.
And that harsh. Yeah. Like, yeah. That's not our market. If they can't afford the internet, they're not buying an Xbox.
Well, I mean, it's not doesn't always have to go back to people who can't afford it. It could also go to people who can't even access it.
Yeah.
You know, people who live up north in Maine somewhere. You
or
know,
just that, don't want it.
Yeah. But I mean, people who maybe can get satellite, but they don't have access to, you know, internet that way.
I know plenty of people who are not into multiplayer gaming. It's even the smallest percentage of gaming I do is multiplayer.
Yep.
Very small percentage.
Yeah. Now that I gave up World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
I don't do any.
Yeah. The other piece is they're saying it's, and this is probably a lot more likely. I don't think the always on connectivity is going to be a thing. It was rumored for PlayStation 4 too. But that didn't happen either. But the other one is that they're going to restrict playing used games on the system.
What do you mean used games? Like
if you go to GameStop and buy one that's been purchased before and you try to play it, ain't happening.
Why not? What's the problem with that?
They want to sell all new games and they want to kill the used game market because they say it's taking tons of dollars away from video game sales.
I don't agree with that.
No, I don't either.
Because I know if I buy a game, you know, especially at the price point they are now, if I don't like it, I'm getting rid of it.
Oh, yeah.
Not getting rid of it. I'm going to sell it.
Yep.
And I will buy a used game now because now I can't afford a new game because I just bought one I didn't like.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I don't think it's a good business model. And I think they'd really be shooting themselves in the foot. And if either of these rumors are true, I think PlayStation 4 has a sizable advantage in the next generation.
Yeah. Or they're going to have to do what, you know, like, again, I don't look at Xbox games because I don't have one. I know, like, PlayStation, they do the best of that you can pick up for $19.
Yep.
I don't know if Xbox does that.
I think they have a version of that, like gold. Okay. Gold games or something weird.
Well, if they do that, they better start putting them to gold a lot quicker.
Right.
Because I'm not going to go out and pay $60, $70 every time I want a game.
Exactly.
Ain't gonna happen.
Yeah, horrible business practice. But we will report more to you. I don't know if we'll do a whole bonus episode like we did with PS4 because we have more Sony fanboys over here than we do Xbox guys. But I'll report on it.
Yeah, that should be I think that'll definitely have to include Volpe.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. He's the Xbox guy out of all of us.
He should be the one excited about it.
Yep. So again, May 21st for that. That'll air at 1 p.m. Eastern Central Time. Check out Spike TV Game Trailers, Xbox Live, or Xbox.com for that. Next, while it's been rumored for some time now, Showtime has officially confirmed that the upcoming 8th season of Dexter will mark the series' final season.
I'm still not watching it.
I know you're not. But you should. You should hop back in. It's not like you never saw it at all. You watched till what season?
I think it was season 4.
Yeah.
I think.
So you're not even that far behind. You're halfway there.
Yeah.
You just get back on. Come on. One of us. One of us.
I got enough stuff to watch.
Yeah, I know.
I'm good.
All right. I'm very excited. I think it is time for them to work their way till the end. It's a good stopping point, and they've built up to a good place where it makes sense. And you never want to see a series get stale.
No. And I mean, that's why I was drawn to Dexter, because I like where it started off. But yeah, I think, again, I haven't watched it, but it's definitely a storyline that has to end at some point.
Yeah.
It's something that just can't go on forever.
Exactly. And there's always been the rumor that it's going to end up with Dexter dead. But we'll see. People love to do that with any series, though. They're going to die at the end.
I don't know. Yeah, I think he either has to die or go to jail.
Maybe.
I think, because, I don't know, like, that's his lifestyle.
Or he conquers the Dark Passenger.
How?
He's been getting more and more control over it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it slips out here and there, but compared to where he was in season one, like, he's actively not killed people by choice, where he could never do that before.
No.
It was just a compulsion, and he still has it. But he seems to get it more and more under wraps.
Well, yeah, I mean, he only killed killers, so.
Right.
I mean, yeah, it's not like he just wanted to kill for no reason.
Right. Although he did. He
initially,
just,
and then he
was taught how to focus it. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I'm very excited for the last season of Dexter. This one you might not be as thrilled about. Saved by Comedy Central in 2010.
I know where you're going.
After its cancellation on Fox, the network has announced that the upcoming season of Futurama will be its last. The 13-episode summer run will premiere on Comedy Central with back-to-back episodes on Wednesday, June 19th at 10 p.m. with the series finale scheduled for September 4th. Special guest stars for the final season include Larry Bird, Dan Castellaneta, Sarah Silverman, George Takei, Adam West, and Burt Ward. Including the yet-to-air season, this will bring the total number of episodes in Futurama's storied history to 140.
Yeah, it had to happen sometime.
Yeah.
And I'd rather see him go out strong than, again, try and bleed it dry and
sure.
ruin it.
Yeah, I think the ratings have dropped in recent years, and it hasn't been as good since its resurrection, mm-hmm. I don't think. I haven't been actively catching up on all of them. I have them all, but I just haven't gotten around to most of them.
Yeah.
Are you still actively watching, or?
I wouldn't say I actively watch, but I'll definitely tune in if I'm sitting down. Mm. But I don't go out of my way to watch it.
Oh, it'll be a good chance to catch up on those, too, yeah. if you don't have, like, another show like Dexter that you should be watching.
No, instead. And I think they're all on Amazon Prime, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It might be.
Maybe not for free.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I'll throw this in right now. I'm not impressed with Amazon Prime right now.
The selection is not stellar.
It's not stellar. And things that were Prime, they've taken off of Prime.
Oh, really?
Yep. It's not, once it goes Prime, it's free forever. They mm-hmm. put it back to pay.
Oh, that's a bummer.
And they haven't added anything recently. And, you know, I think they've added, like, Downton Abbey, but
yeah.
No, thank you.
I'm not a fan of the TV or the PS3 app because it's just organized poorly. Like, when you do a search, you can search for something specific if you know what you're looking for, and that's easy enough. But when you want to browse by genre, there's a lot of overlap and a lot of repetition.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's real bad.
Yeah, I don't care for that. Netflix's system is far better and selection right now, but.
I think I heard that Redbox, again, this is news. I heard that Redbox is going to offer an online.
There's been talk of that. Yeah, there's some rumors going around. I haven't looked into it. And I probably should.
I've never done Redbox.
I've rented them and it's. I like it. I like it a lot, actually. Yep. I've actually gone when I tend to get a Slurpee fix going on during the summer. So I hit up 7-Eleven every now and then, and you get points with the Slurpees, and you can cash them in. And I've gotten a lot of free Redbox rentals, so that's been nice.
I should do it.
Purchase a code, and then, yeah, and you can. The nice thing, too, is you can pick them up anywhere and drop them off at a Redbox anywhere. It doesn't have to be the same kiosk.
Nice.
Yeah, so that comes in handy, too. I've liked it so far. Nothing but good things to say. And I kind of miss the having the disc to watch instead of streaming it.
Yeah, I'm upset that Blockbuster went out of business. I shouldn't say out of business. It's like one every once in a while.
Yeah, they're barely around.
Plus, I signed up for them, and I did their online DVDs.
Yep.
And at the end of the year, they would send you, I forget if it was an email or a letter in the mail, that just thanked you for your business, and they allowed you to pick a movie for free.
Oh, wow.
And they'd send it to you.
That's cool.
Yeah. Free movie.
Clearing out the inventory.
Yeah, that's fine by me.
Yeah, that's nice.
And it wasn't just like a pick of like only a few movies. They sent you a link to a list of hundreds of movies.
Really?
Pick from. Yeah.
Very cool.
I got Stardust for free.
Sweet.
I like that movie.
It's not bad. Nope. Not bad. Did you play Plants vs. Zombies at all? No.
You showed it to me.
Oh, okay. Love that game. But Plants vs. Zombies community marketing manager, Stephanie Baer, has announced on Twitter that Plants vs. Zombies 2, It's About Time, will arrive from PopCap Games this July. And the title is poking fun at itself because people have been waiting for it for a while. They announced it initially that they were working on Plants vs. Zombies 2 like over a year ago.
Are there any screenshots?
Nothing. Mm. Nothing so far. And yet the game's coming out in July. Wow. So it's not that far away.
I mean, I'm sure pumped. Graphically it's going to be a huge bump up.
I hope they don't even take a huge graphical jump. Like, yeah. I want the same style gameplay and just more variety.
Yeah, that sounds good.
More plants, more zombies.
Because I like playing Temple Run a lot, mm-hmm. and then Temple Run 2 came out.
Yep.
And I never really got into that one as much.
No. Nah.
And I thought I would, because it went from being a 2D game to 3D.
Yep.
And it didn't blow me away.
No? Nah.
No. Nah.
I never even played 2. I just didn't care. I was out of Temple Run so fast. That game annoyed me.
Really?
Honestly. It's not one of those games I felt comfortable playing out in public, because you're tilting your screen all over the place and stuff. And I felt like an idiot.
Yeah. I think so many people do it nowadays. I don't think you'd stand out.
Probably not. I just feel insecure about my own stupidity.
No, you know who does stand out? And these people blow me away. I think I went to go see the Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Oh, yeah.
2 years ago. And I saw, you people, they put their cell phones up and they're taking video, taking photos, whatever. I don't think they actually have a problem with that. I saw a woman putting up an iPad. I'm like, are you serious? Yep, an iPad way up in the air. It's like, wow.
That's funny, though.
It is funny.
It'd be funny if she had one of those fireplace screensaver type things on there. Like, this is my lighter. Fuck all you guys. I have a whole fireplace.
I do have a Zippo app on my phone.
Yeah. See, that's funny, though.
Yep.
I'm amused by that. Or even just like a little match with a flame coming off of it. Yeah. Although most people just do the light from the cell phone is enough these days.
All right, back to Plants vs. Zombies. Do you have anything else to add?
No, that's it. Honestly, it's not a lot of information. That's pretty much it right now. But we can talk about Ninja Turtles. I like Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, I like Ninja Turtles.
In an interview with MoviePhone, Michael Bay finally addressed a concern that fans have had over a quote he made led to some assumptions about the Ninja Turtles being aliens from outer space in his movie. The original quote was, "These turtles are from an alien race, and they're going to be tough, edgy, funny, and completely lovable." It makes sense that people would have had the conclusion that they were aliens based on that. And he's saying the turtles are from an alien race. That sounds like they're aliens.
Yeah.
But the clarification that he posted recently said, quote, "There was that quote saying that we're making the Ninja Turtles as aliens. We're not. It's the ooze. It's from the original source material. These are from the original writers, and I never went out to correct myself in the press. I do listen to the fans, and I do want this to be authentic. I think they're going to be really happy with this movie. When I see the digital stuff, the turtles look great."
Yeah, I saw the photos that you posted on the website.
Yep.
That's awesome. I love how they're doing that.
Yeah, and that was one of the things I was going to put up in case you hadn't seen it.
Yep.
Was I had that same mocap picture of the Ninja Turtles. And I love how in the picture they have the color-coded bands on them so you can tell which turtle's which.
That's a good idea, though, too.
It
because,
is.
Because, it could be very easy for an editor to mistaken one turtle for the next. And
they're not being lazy about it either. Those guys are wearing the shells, too.
Oh, God, yeah. That's awesome, too. Because, again, it's going to add so much realism to
Absolutely.
It.
So I'm having a little bit of hope, which I don't know if I should with a Michael Bay movie. You're looking at that picture perplexed.
Well, I'm looking at the guys in the background that look like they're animal wranglers with those.
I don't know if they're supposed to be some version of like the foot soldiers or.
Okay.
Maybe.
But the thing in their hand, I mean, usually they use that on a rabid animal.
Yeah. Well, the turtles are chained up, so I think they have them in custody.
Yep.
And they're treating them like animals, basically. Because they're animals.
It's true. They do have necks, so you can get that thing around there.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how else you'd handle a massive turtle.
Yeah. And then Alan Ritchson, the guy who is playing Leonardo. So he's actually in that picture, too, in the blue. He had a quote about the Ninja Turtles that I will play here.
I want to talk about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
We are shooting. It's been an interesting process, with the kind of technology we're working with, this live-action motion capture thing. There's just a lot of technology involved, so there's some kinks to work out. So we've had some trial runs. We've actually started shooting some. We're also in this phase right now that's sort of developmental again, and we've got to be ninjas, unfortunately for me, who can barely walk and talk at the same time. So we're learning a lot of the fight choreography and that kind of thing. So we've got these unbelievable stunt trainers that work us every day to the bone, and it's been a great process. So. We'll pick back up with principal photography soon. And
how do you think fans of the comic and the show will feel about this version?
the frustrating thing for me since I've signed on is you sort of hear that it's already got a reputation, this movie, that hasn't come out yet. You know, I think people assume that they know what it's going to be about, and those people are wrong. The assumptions, all everything you read online is wrong. And it's frustrating because you want to just, you know, you want to tell everybody, like, how great it is, and you can't really say why, but it is. And it's so much better than people think, and I promise that. And it's going to look way better than anybody can imagine. I can't wait for people to see this. I think it's going to live up to and exceed everybody's boyhood dreams of being a Ninja Turtle like I was. You know, I grew up with it too, and I want to see it come to life in the best way possible. And it's been really cool to be a part of and see it start to come to life. And I can't wait for people to see it.
What is it like technically? Is it motion capture suits or
it's live action motion capture. So like we're running around Manhattan, you know, me and Megan Fox, her looking wonderful and me looking like some kind of ant with cameras all over my face and dots. And it's ridiculous, and it sucks running around with that kind of stuff on in public, but it's what we must do. So it's a lot of fun though to be a part of that kind of process. And to bring a character like that to life in a very different way. You know, as an actor, it's challenging and fun, but it's all very live action, you know, so it's just like shooting a regular movie, you know.
I thought it was funny, too, because this picture wasn't out when that audio clip came out, so I hadn't seen what he was talking about, but looking at the picture, like talking about the antenna and stuff, it's so funny to look at the picture now.
Yeah, those actors are getting no chicks on the scene.
No. Although they could walk up and say, hey, I'm a Ninja Turtle. Might still work.
Probably not. But I think after this movie, it will work.
Yeah. Talking about the fight choreography, too, like looking at the size of those shells, that could not be easy.
No, I hope those are just air filled.
Right.
But even still, that's
even
just
still,
awkward.
Yeah, it's super awkward. Like the fact that they would have to do like a jump kick or anything along those lines. They can't throw their elbows back, really, because they're hitting shell.
Yep. Which is good, though, because it's going to make it realistic.
Absolutely.
So you're going to bump into that thing. You're going to have to stop.
Yeah. No, I'm getting more and more hope for this movie. While when I originally heard that Michael Bay was doing the Ninja Turtles, I wanted to kill somebody. But the more I'm seeing, the happier I am. And I'm trying not to get my hopes up too much because it is still a Michael Bay movie. But I don't know. The mocap thing looks good. They're speaking very well of it. I mean, Kevin Eastman's behind it. They clarified the ooze, so I was right about that. Yeah. Another prediction correct. But the other thing I'm happy about too is, did you see the pictures of Megan Fox as April O'Neil?
No. Yes, I did with her. Okay, not that photo though.
Not that photo? Okay. Well, a couple things that they're small things, but you know that they're paying attention and trying to do it justice. When they A, put her in a yellow jacket.
Yep.
And B, make her a redhead.
Yeah. And I like how they've toned down her look a little bit for Megan Fox, which is good.
And I don't care what anybody says. There was a whole backlash against her when like everyone was like, oh my God, Megan Fox is so hot. And then inevitably when someone gets risen up that quickly, there's always a backlash against them.
Yeah.
She's still fucking hot.
Oh, yeah. And why would you complain that she's so fucking hot? No kidding. She's going to be too hot for the role.
Yeah.
So what?
I don't care. That's bonus, all right?
Yeah. I thought you were going to say something else. That's boner.
Same thing, man.
Yep.
It's all the same. But yeah, the fact that they're paying attention to those small little details, I really appreciate that.
I'd like to see a rendering.
Of the turtles?
Yeah.
I think it's just around the corner.
Yep.
Honestly, I think it'll be very soon that we see something that will represent what they'll look like. And I'm excited for it. And that'll make or break my opinion.
Yeah.
I think.
It's hard to judge.
It's very hard to. Especially when you don't see them in motion, even when you're just seeing a still.
I think this could really, if it's done well, could bring back the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles to like popularity again.
Yeah.
Big
well,
time.
I think they're slowly coming back already with the new series.
Yeah.
Because it's so good. Have you seen the new series at all?
A few episodes.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. I love it. I think it's really, really well done.
And I even think the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle animated movie was really good.
Yeah.
I like
yeah.
that a lot.
Yep.
But for the people who aren't into animated
right.
TV
this
shows
will definitely, yeah.
or movies, you know, it'll bring it back.
I agree. Very excited for it.
I mean, as a kid, I liked the
yeah.
original movies.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. They don't hold up very well.
Oh,
but
no, they don't hold up well at all.
Especially not three.
No, is that the one with Vanilla Ice?
No, two's the one with Vanilla okay. Ice. Three's the one where they're samurais and they go back in time.
That's right.
Oh, my God. It's terrible. And they make all topical references in their jokes. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Making the topical humor like that in a kid's movie is never a good idea.
No. In almost any movie.
Yeah, true. X-Men, Days of Future Past. Director Bryan Singer is continuing his social media cast reveals. Singer recently posted a Vine video that shows the names of the film's characters on their set chairs. While most of these names are no surprise, two of them are being seen for the first time, Bishop and Warpath. Actor Omar Sy was rumored to be playing the time-traveling mutant Bishop since his initial casting, and with this reveal, that seems even more likely. It's also fairly safe to say that the previously cast Boo Boo Stewart will be playing Warpath, as his role hasn't yet officially been announced, and he is the only Native American in the known cast. And Warpath is also Native American, so I think it's safe to say.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with Boo Boo Stewart.
He was in one of the Twilight movies, I think. I'm sorry, I know.
Again, I'm not familiar with
right,
Boo Boo
I know.
Stewart.
I'm not either, honestly. I'm not even familiar with Omar Sy. But the fact that they're finally bringing in and announcing Bishop, this movie's coming together, man.
Yeah, that's exciting.
The only key player that they really need to get in here that they haven't yet is Gambit. Because for people that are unfamiliar with the Days of Future Past storyline, Senator Kelly is assassinated, and it appears that it's Gambit, even though it's not. But he's like, the whole blame is put on him. So they might just throw it on another mutant and say it's him instead of Gambit. Or maybe we'll actually see Gambit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm just trying to think which way it could go. I mean, I could see it going just to another mutant because I could bring back somebody that you've already seen.
Yeah.
Instead of having to hire another actor.
Right.
Introduce their story. So I think for maybe the ease of creating the movie.
Yep.
They might just go throw it against.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Honestly.
Like Toad.
Toad. Although they'll use someone on the X-Men.
Yep.
Because it has to be a good guy
yeah.
for it to work. So, but it could be so one of so many people. Yeah. I wouldn't even be surprised if they threw it at Wolverine.
Yeah, Wolverine. Yeah, because that'd be believable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
You know.
But very, very excited for that movie. And speaking of movies with large superhero casts, the next release in the DC Universe animated series has been announced. Based on the miniseries by Geoff Johns and Andy Kubert, Justice League The Flashpoint Paradox will be released on July 30th, 2013. Here's a quick synopsis. When time travel allows a past wrong to be righted for Flash and his family, the event's temporal ripples prove disastrous, creating a fractured alternate reality where the Justice League never formed and even Superman is nowhere to be found. Amidst a new world being ravaged by a fierce war between Wonder Woman's Amazons and Aquaman's Atlanteans, Flash must team with a grittier, more violent Batman and government agent Cyborg to restore the continuity of Flash's original timeline. So Flash goes back in time, changes something, and it messes with the whole universe.
I like that.
Yeah.
I'd like to know what's up with the gritty Batman.
I already know.
That could be awesome.
I already know.
Do you?
Yeah, this is actually based off of the Flashpoint series that was in the comics, and I won't spoil anything. Because there's some really cool stuff in it, but I have the Batman Funko, my pop figure that yeah. I have there, the one with the red eyes, mm-hmm. That's Flashpoint Batman.
All right.
So he looks a little bit different and he has like the black and red scheme instead of the black and yellow, but the Flashpoint series was what ended the current DC continuity. And when Flashpoint ended, it went into the new 52 and that was the reboot. So when they reset the universe, they didn't necessarily restore it. They kind of reset it and started all over in a way.
I like it. I think you'd have to play the first episode many times. Kind of like what they do now with a lot of shows.
Well, this isn't a series. Like this is before. Just the...
Oh, it's not a series.
No. It's a DC animated movie. Huh. So in their whole line of movies that they come out with, they've been doing all the like PG-13 releases. I actually just watched Superman Unbound last night, which has a preview of Flashpoint Paradox on it. It's very cool. Superman Unbound was okay, but all these movies, they come out and they're all usually based on like a series of graphic novels. So they're much more comic accurate than anything you'd ever see on the big screen. And they can because they're easier to put together. But they're all rated PG-13 too, which is nice. So they're written for like our age, not necessarily for kids.
That's cool.
Yeah, I love them. They're really good. A lot of them are. The Superman ones are not as good. Superman's just a harder character to write and make interesting. The Batman ones are good. There's a Wonder Woman one that was surprisingly great. And then there's a couple of Green Lantern ones too, which are good. I think we should probably take a quick break here, and then we'll come back and hit the rest of the news, which will probably take us through the rest of the episode. There's so much. It's ridiculous. Yeah. All right. So we'll be right back. Looking for a way to show your geek pride? We've got a great selection of t-shirts over at the Geek Generation store to help you out. Represent the Geek Generation with a G-Shield logo tee, become Lord of the Geeks, or rock the gamer shirt. All proceeds support the show and allow us to continue bringing you free content. Get your shirt now by going to thegeekgeneration.com/store. Hey Amazon users, if you'd like to help support the show, please go to thegeekgeneration.com/Amazon, which will bring you right to the Amazon homepage. If you make a purchase after using this link, you've helped the show by earning us a commission, and it won't cost you any extra money. Please use this link for all your future Amazon shopping. That's thegeekgeneration.com/Amazon.
Hi, this is Charisma Carpenter, and you're listening to The Geek Generation. Yes, you are.
Then this next story I'm not super thrilled about, because we've been complaining about the Crow remake on this show for a while, but it seems to be moving forward, and they have someone cast. Luke Evans is set to star as Eric Draven in Relativity Media's remake of The Crow. While many actors have been rumored for the role, Evans was the first choice for director F. Javier Gutierrez, but had previously been busy with other films. Instead of going with another actor, shooting has been pushed back to an early 2014 start to accommodate Evans. When asked about the film, Evans said, quote, "The Crow was a very poignant film from my childhood, which I remember vividly. The soundtrack also. It was such a solid performance that Brandon Lee gave. It was a very tragic end for somebody that probably would have had a very promising career. I'm Eric Draven. I'm the same character. Obviously, he's been refreshed and brought up to date. We're reimagining it to a certain extent, but the story and the plot is mostly the same." Which begs the question.
Why?
Why?
Yeah, I mean, if the movie's that good to start with and you're praising it.
Yeah.
If you're not going in a different direction with it or continuing the story, why remake it?
Exactly. If they were going to do like a direct sequel to that storyline and kind of not pay attention to the other Crow stories, but if it was like continuing on from his story, maybe I could get behind it.
Yeah. Because the movie's not that, it's not old enough.
No.
For me to do a remake.
It came out when we were in high school.
Yeah, it's not, yeah.
So yeah, it's not necessary to do a remake right now. And like we've said before, I find it incredibly disrespectful.
Yep.
Especially when, like, yeah, I mean, you could say that, well, it's nobody's fault that he died and the making of the movie and everything. But at the same time, I just find it disrespectful. And the Crow character, there are so many different Crows in the comics. Like, each of the movies that we watched, I think, were each a different Crow. Like, there were four different Crow movies, and each one was a different one. That's okay to do, because in the comics, there's so many different ones. There's not just one person who's the Crow. They could have even come up with an original character and done it on him. Why go back and do Eric Draven again in that same story again? They could even keep the theme of that story, where it's like coming back to avenge the girl and all that, and just do a different character name and give him a different profession. You could still have the heart of that story and do it with completely new characters.
Yeah. The only good thing is there's time before this movie is made where they could change their thought, maybe.
I hope, but I don't see it happening that way.
I don't know. Maybe if enough people voice their opinion on that.
Yeah. I don't know. But they're not shooting until early 2014. But at this point in the process, I don't know if they'd really go back to... I just don't want it to happen. I don't want it to happen. The worst part is I'll probably see it, but I don't want it to happen.
Well, yeah, because you kind of... Now you're curious as to...
Yeah, it's morbid curiosity.
Yeah.
I might not pay for it in the theater, but I might see it. That's my rebellion. I'll like rent it or something.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll rent that movie. That doesn't sound very forceful, does it? Paramount Pictures and Skydance Productions have announced that Tom Cruise has signed on to star and produce a fifth installment in the Mission Impossible franchise. The actor will reprise his role of Ethan Hunt, who who was first introduced to moviegoers in 1996.
I haven't seen a single Mission Impossible.
Really?
Really.
That's too bad, actually.
I Can like you guess the first, why?
You don't like Tom Cruise. Yeah, that's true. I forgot about that. He's good in them. I think it's his best role, honestly. Mission Impossible 1 was good. 2 was not so good. That was directed by John Woo when he was kind of the big thing in the 90s. And they literally, in Mission Impossible 2, have a motorcycle fight. And I'm not talking about, like, a race. I'm talking about they're jumping off of cliffs at each other with motorcycles, like, swinging the tail ends at each other like it's their bodies. Like, a motorcycle fist fight. Stupid as hell.
That doesn't even make any sense.
No, it was dumb.
It's kind of like when you're a kid. Did you ever, like, pick up the front wheel on your bike?
Right.
And spin the front tire right. really fast and then try and turn the handlebar?
Yeah.
It's not easy to do.
No. It was stupid, but they were trying to do something crazy and weird and whatever. But 3 was good. 4 was good. So they have a pretty good track record.
Yeah, might as well keep it going.
Yeah, so I'm in.
I think the reason why I didn't watch it, because to me, it seemed a ripoff of James Bond.
Maybe, but at the same time, it's also based on a series. It's just another... It's not quite Bond, though, because Mission Impossible is all about being disavowed. Like, something goes wrong. And then your government is pretending you don't exist. So you're almost always a rogue agent.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of the heart of the Mission Impossible series. He's like disavowed in every movie. And then he always comes back. And then, like how many times are you going to do this to the guy? We don't know you anymore. Come home. He's a beaten girlfriend. Like
it's like a booty call.
He's the Rihanna to whatever the organization's Chris Brown is. So that's probably not the best analogy to use, but whatever. Michael Rooker, who you know as Merle Dixon from The Walking Dead, has joined the cast of Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy. He will play the role of Yondu, a founding member of the team. Yondu was a game hunter of a primitive tribe native to Centauri IV, the first planet system to be colonized outside of the sun's solar system.
I think he'll do that really well.
Yeah, I love Rooker. He's so cool.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd call him necessarily he is like a badass, but he's just so raw, and he's awesome, and he's like a rogue in a way. He's a loner.
So to play a character from a primitive tribe.
Yeah, he's going to do that awesome.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy is shaping up too. I think it'll be interesting. I have no idea what to expect from it. It's such a random amount of characters that I have very, very little familiarity with. That's a hard word.
I'm not even going to try.
Insomniac Games has announced that an animated Ratchet and Clank movie is coming to theaters in 2015. Are you familiar with Ratchet and Clank at all?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Remember you bought that ultimate combo?
That's right.
We sat and watched you play it for
HD a while. Trilogy, yeah. I didn't realize how many Ratchet and Clank games there were. I was like, yeah, they have this trilogy and maybe what, like one or two more? There's a bunch more. So I'm going to have some catching up to do over time. But the fact that I think it's smart to do this animated, for one.
Oh, yeah, I think it'd be dumb to try and do it live action.
Yeah, and the teaser trailer, they look great. It's not even like they're just doing video game cutscene quality animation. They look good, like CGI movie quality animation.
I hope they throw in like the fun, gimmicky weapons.
Oh, they'd have to.
Like that sheep gun.
Yeah, the sheepinator.
Yeah.
Yep. They would absolutely have to. And the what is it, the Quacktastic Ray or something I had in another game?
Yep.
Yeah. It was awesome. You'd shoot an enemy, and then they would turn into a duck that laid eggs, and the eggs explode. But then every now and then you'd shoot a duck, and it would turn into like a mutant flying duck, and it would hover around you and then dive bomb enemies and stuff. So great. So great. But that's a staple of the series, so they would have to incorporate some sort of crazy, all the crazy weapons and things like that. But doing this as an animated movie is awesome. The other really cool thing about this is that it's not direct-to-video. This is coming to theaters, which is awesome. That's a huge step in the right direction for video game movies. I mean, if you're going to do something like this, do it big and do it theater release. Ratchet & Clank has enough of a following to where this could work.
I think so. And then it'll reintroduce the game to people who haven't tried it.
And I'm sure there's a new game planned right around the corner that they're not announcing just yet.
Well, the great thing is that they'd be smart if they kept, you know, their trilogies at a low price.
Right.
So then when people see the movie, they're like, wow, that was awesome. They'll go out. buy the cheap movie games, yep. play those, love it, and then go into the new one that comes out.
Yeah. And I guarantee you the game that comes out around it will be based on the movie, which is the smarter way to do it. You don't want to make the games based on the movies. You want to make the movies based on the games to spawn other games. Yeah. And then, because movie games are rarely ever good. But I'm excited for it. I'm happy I got into the franchise now that they have a movie coming out in the next year or two. That's cool. Maxis and Electronic Arts have announced that The Sims 4 is currently in development at The Sims Studio for release on PC and Mac in 2014. Like my emphasis. The Sims 4 celebrates the heart and soul of The Sims themselves, giving players a deeper connection with the most expressive, surprising, and charming Sims ever in the single-player offline experience. The Sims 4 encourages players to personalize their world with new and intuitive tools while offering them the ability to effortlessly share their creativity with friends and fans. I don't know what the hell any of that means. That's gobbledygook saying that, hey, we have a new game. But I did think it was funny that in the press release, they specifically said single-player offline experience. Do you know why?
No.
Do you know about the whole SimCity debacle?
No.
SimCity came out a couple months ago, the new version of it. You had to be online to play.
No, thank you.
Exactly.
SimCity, kind of going way back to the original SimCity.
They remade it. There's a new version. SimCity, yeah, but SimCity.
But not the Sims with the people, just you build your city.
Yes.
Why would you want to play that online? Why should you have to?
If you become part of a world where someone else's city might be adjoining yours and they can affect each other.
Okay.
Which is good in theory, but not if it's required.
No. To me, that seems like it should be an easy, either you play it offline.
Right.
Or you start a city online.
Right. But there were other issues that people had with it. One, for like the first week, nobody could connect. It was always saying like EA servers down or SimCity servers down constantly. So there was a huge backlash against the game. Then they were like, well, release a patch and let us play offline at least. And they said, well, we can't do that. We can't do that because it'd be too difficult with the functionality of the game that we set up and the requirement to have the cities next to you and the affecting and whatever. While they said that, within 24 hours, someone patched it. And allowed it to be played offline, and they were like, oh shit. So they eventually did release a patch where you could play offline.
Wow. I would ask for my money back.
Right?
You know?
That's a bunch of bullshit right there. And especially to be told, we can't do that, it's too hard, and then someone just goes and does it. Like that's the nice thing about the internet in this day and age, is people can just call you on your bullshit and half of them can prove you wrong.
Yeah.
So that's always fun. But
I'm glad they did too.
Right, exactly. That's awesome. And that's why I think it's funny that it says single player offline experience. Like most of the time it would just say single player experience.
Yeah.
They specifically said offline. It's the only way they're selling this game. Very amused by that. Would you hop back into The Sims? I know we played a little in college here and there.
Yeah, I played quite a bit in college.
Yeah. I skipped over 3 entirely.
Yeah, I don't even remember where I started and stopped. I mean, I started with Sims 1.
Yeah. It became a huge time sink in college.
Yeah, it really did.
Yeah. We were starting to build each other into our,
we're
all on the same floor in the same suite.
And everybody had their own house.
Right. Instead of hanging out with each other, we all have our own Sims houses on our computers with all of us inside of each other's houses. And
yep.
Oh man, we are so weird.
Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes the game became like a pain in the ass because you had to spend so much time like with your friends.
Yeah.
Or else they got mad at you.
It's
fuck you.
Yeah, I know, right?
I'm trying to build my house.
I don't need to build my relationship with you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make a career.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm trying to be a criminal, damn it. Yeah. Which was one of the viable career options. Yep. Go figure.
Which was good.
It was entertaining.
Could you get
way,
arrested?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, there were all sorts of weird things. I always took the superhero path, of course.
Yep.
Because I had to. I just like to watch him get into his costume and fly away at the beginning of the morning.
Yep.
During the stream of the final fight in the battle arena, creative director Ed Boon announced that Lobo will be the first DLC character for Injustice Gods Among Us. Then, after a leaked posting on the Xbox Live Marketplace, NetherRealms confirmed that Batgirl will also be a playable DLC character. Lobo and Batgirl are available to players that purchase the game's Season Pass, which also includes more alternate skins and an additional 2 characters that haven't been revealed yet. The season pass is available for $14.99 or 1,200 Microsoft points. We've got gameplay trailers for both the characters on thegeekgeneration.com, so check those out. Lobo is available right now. He was just recently released to public consumption. I'm saying all sorts of weird words today, and not saying some of the letters right on each of them. I'm like slipping fast. I don't know. Heat. It must be. I'm going to blame it on the heat, at least. It's a good excuse. I don't know when Batgirl is going to be available, but the gameplay footage for both of them looks really cool. It's cool that Lobo's in there. He's a fan favorite character that we don't get to see too often and stuff. I think they're really taking the advantage of what they can do with the DLC roster in a fighting game. Like, Lobo's perfect for a fighting game, so it makes total sense to bring him in. And the super moves are cool, too.
Yeah. Oh, my God, those super moves. The ones that I've seen, they're incredible.
Yeah.
And, I just love the idea of the game.
Yeah. I haven't played too much.
I love the... have you seen the Kevin Smith commercial?
Yes. That was really good.
Awesome. Yeah, it was.
Aquaman's got mad sharks, yo! Jason Mewes. Love that guy.
Yeah.
We've talked about World War Z before on the show. We've talked about how much Anna's angry at the World War Z movie for it not being anything like the book. And she's not the only one. Max Brooks, author of the novel World War Z, An Oral History of the Zombie War, says the only similarity between his book and the upcoming Brad Pitt movie is the title. Awesome. When talking about his book and the movie at Mansfield University, Brooks said he was only invited to read the script after the cameras were already rolling. Quote, I said, why would I read this? This is not the movie you're going to make. You're going to do rewrites and reshoots. That's what happens when you make a giant movie. My attitude is, if you haven't invited me to contribute, then fine. Go make the movie you want to make, and I'll see it when it comes out. He continued, quote, I cannot guarantee that the movie will be the book that they love, and I'm in no position to tell people to see this movie or not see it. If I'm asked, I say, see the movie as a movie and judge it as a movie. So it really has nothing to do with his book. When the interview took place, the only stuff he'd seen of it is the 2-minute trailer that the rest of us have seen.
Yeah, I'm glad he actually had a chance to come out and say his mind before the movie comes out.
Yeah.
Instead, because sometimes when, you know, the writer, you know, of the book comes out.
Yep.
And then they say it's like, you're just trying to cover it up because it was a crappy movie.
Right, yeah.
You
know? So if the reviews are bad, then see, if the reviews are good and he comes out and says, oh, it was nothing like my book, then he's still in the same position as this is. But if the movie's given horrible reviews and he comes out and says, oh, it's nothing like my book, it just looks like he's covering his ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not really familiar with him as an author.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I haven't read any of his books. So I don't know how big he is, you know.
I don't know as an author how big he is, but he's big in the zombie genre. He before that wrote the Zombie Survival Guide or something like that.
I have that. Actually.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't read it.
Do you know who he is?
No.
Max Brooks?
Nope.
The son of Mel Brooks.
The comedian?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. How random is that? Like, Mel Brooks' son got into zombie novels.
Yep. But I just wasn't sure, like, did he just, you know, allow this name to the
title? I think he sold the rights of the book to a movie company. But when you do that, you're very often just giving them the ability to do whatever they want with the book. It appears that they chose to take the zombie idea and take the title.
Yep.
And it reminds me of the Wolverine Origins movie where they took Deadpool. And they said, we like the name, and we're going to just change the entire character based on the sound of the name. So since his name was Deadpool, he became a pool of different mutants' genes, and they made an abomination of a character. And this is kind of the same idea. They were probably like, oh, World War Z. Oh.
Yeah, I like that.
That sounds catchy. Cool.
Yep.
And they obviously couldn't just make a movie and call it that because he has the book rights and he has the name. So they bought the name rights. Essentially, it seems like they bought the name rights and not even the story.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I think movie producers nowadays need to ask the author to come in and just sit down with them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think most writers would be excited to have their opinions.
Absolutely.
You know, taken. I know, with all the Harry Potter movies, J.K. Rowling was very involved.
Yeah.
You know?
I think if you want something to be accurate to the message you are trying to deliver in the story, you have to be. It's your perspective. It's your message.
And you, I mean, obviously, a movie can never be word for word for a book because they'd just be way too long.
Except for Sin City. But that was a graphic novel, so the dialogue's a little shorter, but yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So obviously everything has to be altered, but I mean, I think the core of the movie can always take what's important out of the book.
Absolutely. Whatever that common thread is
that
the author was intending to get across, yeah. It's just disrespectful to not include the guy whose book rights you bought.
Yeah.
It's a big F you.
Yeah, it is. It's a slap in the face, really.
We're going to buy your book. Later. Crap. Speaking of movies and things that changed from when we did our look back at the summer movie preview, because of course they would announce something else different after we did that episode. 300 Rise of an Empire has been pushed back to 2014. So it's not coming out this summer anymore.
Mm.
That's why we haven't seen a trailer.
Yep.
It got moved to March 7th, 2014. So it's almost a year away.
Well, that they give it an actual set date, I would say it's still going to come out. If they pushed it back to 2014 with no apparent date,
right,
I would say
right.
maybe might be getting shelved.
Yeah, they actually switched it with, I think, something else. Oh, wait, no, I'm thinking of another movie. Never mind. I'm being dumb.
Okay.
I had some other random, there's too much stuff up here in the head of mine. I read just so much news and garbage and whatever. I can't keep track of it all anymore. I got to write it all down. We had talked in a previous episode about the movie Jane Got a Gun. Did you hear anything about that?
No.
It's a Western, and they had a bunch of issues where, like, the first day shooting, the director didn't show.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then they had a whole bunch of casting issues where Jude Law ended up dropping out because the director left. And then when Jude Law dropped out, the guy who was going to be the villain was Joel Edgerton. And then he switched from the villain role to Jude Law's role, which was the... Wait, no, I'm getting this wrong already. No, okay, this is what it's supposed to be. It's a mess, dude. It was Natalie Portman starring with Michael Fassbender, and then Joel Edgerton was going... Oh, no, I'm sorry. Jude Law was going to be the villain. That was the original cast. Fassbender left to go do X-Men Days of Future Past because of a scheduling conflict. And then Jude Law was the... Wait. No, I'm wrong. Am I wrong here? I can't even keep track of this. Well, okay. At one point, fuck all that. Jude Law left when the director left. Joel Edgerton had switched from being the villain to the protagonist, one of the hero roles. Then Bradley Cooper came in to take that role of the villain. And then less than a month, this is the new news, less than a month after joining the Chaotic Western, Bradley Cooper has departed Jane Got a Gun. Now in a Star Wars reunion of sorts, Ewan McGregor has stepped in to play the film's chief antagonist. He's now the fourth actor to take the role in the span of a few months. Oh. It's just chaos.
Man, is Natalie Portman still in it?
She is.
Yeah.
She's one of the producers, too. So she wasn't leaving this project, I don't think, anytime soon. But
I'd just watch it
for
her.
Holy crap. I know, right? That's all we need. We just need Natalie Portman. I'm not a huge fan of Westerns,
no,
but...
No, I was going to say that, too. Yeah. I mean, man, just nowadays, I don't know. Westerns just, they don't hold up.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan. Like, Rango... Didn't care for the setting.
Yeah.
I don't like deserts. They're just empty.
Yeah.
And they're not interesting to watch visually.
Yeah. Well, I think one thing, they could do Westerns more, not like typical Western you think. Where
yeah.
You think like, you know, Texas and Mexico.
Yeah.
Do more like going West style. I mean, where, you know, you could still consider like a Western almost even like Colorado.
Sure. The only Western I really liked that I saw... Was Last Man Standing.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Tombstone.
No, I actually haven't seen that. Last Man Standing with Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis did a...
Hell yeah, Western, man.
Really?
He's all over the place with two pistols at all times.
Mm.
Love it. And the only fights I want to see in the desert are with Saiyans. So...
Yep.
Because they need wide open spaces to blow things to kingdom come. And that's pretty much it.
I just... With that many changes, I mean, everybody's just got to be out of their mind.
Oh, I'm sure. And I'm sure they've lost a ton of money.
Ton of money. And the focus, kid, it just can't be there.
Right.
You know, because you get so used to somebody being this role.
Yep.
You get comfortable with them, and now they could either be gone or they could be playing the complete opposite of you could be. Because a lot of these actors, you know, with the method acting, I mean, they could legitimately start to hate somebody on there, and then they're their partner or whatever, they're their friend.
Yep.
That's going to be a
hard
one.
And chemistry's constantly changing, and Oh, it's a mess. I feel bad for him, but good God. I wish I knew all the reasons for, like, why the director didn't show and stuff. There's rumors about
it. You could almost make a movie on the making of this movie.
Exactly. That's probably way more interesting than whatever they're planning, and that's the sad part, because it's a Western. But again, Natalie Portman's in it, so she trumps all my movie-hating tropes. She could be in something zombie-related, and I would see it, because it's Natalie Portman.
She could be a hot zombie.
No, she doesn't need to be a zombie. She just needs to be in it. Last story here. Dead or Alive 5 Ultimate is officially heading to Xbox 360 and PS3 this fall in retail and digital formats. The complete version of the game features new modes from PS Vita's Dead or Alive Plus, along with new stages and fighters, including the first ever appearance of Ninja Gaiden's Momiji and levels from the franchise. Soon to be announced, additional characters will also add to the massive cast of fighters.
Sounds impressive.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. And that's pretty much all we got this week. Not a lot more.
Not a lot.
But we actually banged out a whole episode on just news. It's been a long time since we've done that.
Well, now we're caught up and now we can feed it out at a regular pace.
Exactly. And speaking of doing topical things in movies, topical jokes, we just did a whole topical episode. So years from now, this one won't matter at all unless people want to do a little time travel news enjoyment. Final thought or something you want to plug?
No.
Okay.
Well, it is Mother's Day coming up this weekend.
That's true.
So
these guys will hear this on Monday.
Yeah.
But
so it'll be late, but I would probably have to say, you know, either donate money or time to any type of breast cancer awareness.
Yep.
You know, the cure. Go walk.
Yeah. And with Mother's Day upon us, I would ask people to do something nice for your moms, not on Mother's Day.
There you go.
Because it means a lot more that way. I hate, like, we don't celebrate Mother's Day in my family.
No.
My mom wants no part of it. Really? She's like, why does there have to be one day? I want every day!
Yeah. Their mother's 365.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm just having my mom and my wife's mom over for a barbecue on Sunday.
I usually make my mom chocolate-covered strawberries.
I'm making meat.
Yeah! It's a good plan.
Yeah.
I like that plan. Dip it in chocolate.
Grilling meat.
Yep. Bacon-covered. No, chocolate-covered bacon. No, let's do bacon-covered chocolate.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't tried that, but it sounds delicious.
I'm sure it is. Okay, anyway, head over to thegeekgeneration.com to check everything we do there. Check out everything we do there. Well, I always skip over the, I don't know, whatever. I'm in the heat. It's the heat, right? It's totally the heat. If you use iTunes, please rate the show and write a review. Those matter more than I can tell you. Like us at facebook.com/thegeekgeneration. You can follow us at Geek Generation on Twitter and Pinterest. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at The Night Angel. You can follow Mikey on Twitter at Mikey the Goonie, even though I think he never, ever uses it or tweets anything.
No,
you,
I don't.
But you can follow him.
Yep.
You can send emails to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com. And as always, the show theme is provided by Machine Supremacy. A link to their site can also be found on our site. We will see you guys next week. Later.
Make it so.